dads. And John, I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind to come and sit out the front here. You don't have to say anything, so don't worry about it. Would you mind coming and sitting up on one of the chairs here? And John, it's no good looking away. Would you mind coming and sitting up the front here as well? Don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to embarrass myself. Now, I want you to give me a score of 1 to 10, okay, as to how bad what it is I say, all right? So if it's not that bad, you know, you can give me a 1. But if it's really bad, then you can give me a 10. But if it's something in the middle, well, it's up to you to decide, all right? Now, can I have my first picture put up on the screen? That's great. Now, in September, this is the first thing I'm going to say, in September, it's my wife's birthday. And she's going to be 40 years old. All right? Actually, there's someone else that's got a birthday coming up soon, isn't there, Emma? And Emma's going to be... Emma's going to... It gets worse. Emma's going to be 40 as well. Now, I'm told that you shouldn't really talk about ladies' ages in public. But clearly I have. So gents, would you just give us a rating from 1 to 10 as to how bad you think it is to say what I've just said?
I'm actually scared.
Are you? I don't want the politically correct answer. I just want the answer that you think is right.
I reckon you want a 9.
A 9? Okay. John? The other John? Get a 6. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, what about this one? Oh.
Ah.
This is what my wife would like. I think it's called an eternity ring. I'm not saying she would want this one, but I know that she would like a ring. But I think that would be a bit too extravagant. I think it might be a little bit of a waste of money. This is my sermon. I think I could buy her something a little bit more practical. Let's have a vote, gentlemen, on 1 to 10. Let's start with you this time, John.
Going up towards a 9 there.
Going up towards a 9 there, okay. John, you haven't left yourself a lot of room.
No, I haven't. Very practical, but not an 8,
okay. All right, okay. Thank you very much, gents. You can go and sit down now. That's... all I'm asking. Now I sense a little bit of disapproval towards what I'm saying. All right. In fact, some of you have actually been more vocal this morning than I think you've probably ever been since I've actually been here, okay, at this local church. Some of you think that I should be willing to empty the bank account, don't you, for my wife? Just remember your thoughts, because I'm going to come back to this very thought at the end, okay, of our study this morning. There is a reason for doing what I've done, but don't forget your reaction. This is for the boys and girls. But over the last few weeks, we've been looking in the church here at the story of Lazarus. And we've seen that Lazarus died and was buried in a tomb. And by the time Jesus arrived at Bethany, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, do you know what Jesus asked to do with the stone? Do you know what Jesus asked to do with the stone? Well, he asked for it to be rolled away. Now, there was a bit of objection to that. Nevertheless, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus shouted in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And that is exactly what happened. He came out clothed in his grave clothes. Jesus performed a wonderful miracle. He caused someone to come back from the dead. Now, I don't know how many days passed, but a little time passed, and Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, invited Jesus to their home. They were basically going to put on a lovely big meal for him, in honor of him. And the Bible tells us that Lazarus reclined at the table with Jesus, whilst Martha busied herself in the home serving the people. But Mary did something rather remarkable. Can any of you tell me what it was that Mary did? I don't suppose it's something we've ever seen done before. Can anyone tell me? Naomi? She got some perfume, didn't she? That's right, and put it on Jesus. You can see the perfume there. It's really expensive perfume. The Bible speaks of it as being nard. There was about a half a pint, I think it says, of this nard. And she poured it on Jesus' feet. And having poured all the perfume on Jesus' feet, she then wiped his feet with her hair. How much money was this perfume worth, do you think? Was it worth a lot of money or just a little bit of money? Yes, James. It was worth a lot of money. What were you following in the Bible to see how much it was worth? Can you tell me? Naomi? A year's worth of wages. All right. You can go to Boots the Chemist, can't you? And you can buy a nice perfume for £10 or £15 or £30 or perhaps even £100. But this perfume was worth a year's wages. It was worth thousands of pounds in today's money. And she took it and she poured it all on Jesus' feet. What would you make of that? What's your initial reaction to that? To this extravagant devotion? What's your immediate thoughts, I wonder? Do you think it was a good thing? Or do you think it was a waste of money? What do you think, Dan? Was your hand going up or is it staying down? You think it might have been a bit of a waste of money? Well, your dad is doing that. But actually, don't be embarrassed, because I think that would be the reaction of a lot of people. Thousands of pounds just poured on somebody's feet. I want to talk about a couple of sort of modern parallels. I don't know how good of parallels they are. Do any of the old people... well, do any of the older people this morning recognise who this young man is? Ken? It's Martin Lloyd-Jones, yeah, sometimes known as Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he had a very promising career. He was assistant to the royal physician, and apparently he could have gone the whole way. And no doubt earned quite a lot of money and retired to South Wales, where he came from, and bought himself a very nice home. But, you know, he just gave it up one day, because he believed that the Lord Jesus wanted him to go and pastor this little chapel in South Wales. And that's what he did. Now, I know that there were people at the time who thought that he was crazy, because he could have been a brilliant politician, he could have been a brilliant doctor, but he chose to go and devote his time and energy to serving the Lord Jesus in this little chapel in South Wales. What about this man? You can read his name, can't you, on the screen there? C.T. Studd. Now, I've got a question for Daniel and James. But it's a question I'd put to everybody. Can you see in the top right-hand picture there what it is that he's holding in one of his hands? It's a cricket bat. Do you know who C.T. Studd played for? Any ideas? He played for England. Actually, he played for England against Australia in the Ashes, and he was part of the team that enabled England to beat the Australians. He was a very bright man. He studied at Cambridge. And there's a picture at the bottom of his family's home. And he, along with possibly others in his family, I think he had a brother, was destined to inherit this lovely property and all his father's money. And yet he gave it all up in order that he might go to a country called China and there serve the Lord Jesus as a missionary. And he didn't come back. He died serving the Lord Jesus in China. And there might be people who would read his story who would say, what a wasted life. I wonder what you make of what Mary did. I wonder what you make of what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones did. I wonder what you make of what C.T. Studd did. I wonder whether we would give our thumbs up to what these people did, or I wonder whether we would give them the thumbs down. I know what the world would do. The world would give them its thumbs down. Well, we're going to look at some of the responses in the Bible this morning to what Mary did. We're going to look at the response of Jesus, and we're going to look at the response of Judas. We're going to come to the Lord in prayer now, but before we come to the Lord in prayer, do you have to become a missionary or a pastor in order to give your all to the Lord? No, of course you don't. But in whatever sphere of life the Lord calls us, we can live out our lives, can't we, for him, and seek to bring him praise and glory in whatever it is that we do. Well, let's pray to the Lord. Lord, as we look at this particular story in the Bible this morning that focuses upon what Mary did, we pray that we may be encouraged and challenged by it. We pray that we may learn, Lord, as to the kind of devotion that you would have us give to you day by day. Lord, we know that your desire is that we might give to you, whether of our time, our talent, or our money, cheerfully and willingly, and not begrudgingly. For your word tells us that you love a cheerful giver. And we thank you, Lord, that we do not have to serve you really well in order to be saved. We thank you that we have been saved. We praise you that we have been forgiven, and that eternal life is your gift to us. But, O Lord, we pray that in response to your amazing love and grace towards us, that we might willingly and gladly give you the very best that we can bring. Lord, there are those in our church who are struggling with their health at this particular time, and we want to commit them to you. There are those that have worries and concerns in connection with their families. Lord, sometimes our loved ones can really burden us, and we want to commit them to you as well. Lord, there are those who are experiencing lots of pressure at work, and we pray that you would be to them all that they need. Lord, those of us who are Christians this morning are wanting to walk well, Lord Jesus, with you. But we confess that we don't find that an easy thing to do. Sometimes we really struggle in our faith. Sometimes we confess that we are plagued with doubts, and therefore we pray that you would be to us all that we need. Lord, strengthen us in our faith, we pray. Strengthen our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might love you more. Lord, we want to be the people that you would have us be. Lord, as we come to you in prayer this morning, we feel our need to bring before you this whole matter of the government's desire to redefine marriage. Lord, we're able to read a lot about this at the moment, but once again we want to commit the matter to you. We know that this country of ours can never and will never become the kingdom of God. Nevertheless, O Lord, we pray that our nation might be a nation that is characterized by righteousness. We pray that our nation, O Lord, would be concerned to adopt laws that are in line with your word. And so we pray that much wisdom would be given to those in authority at this particular time. And we pray that, Lord, those in authority may listen to the voice of Christians and not dismiss them at this time. And we'd recognize, Lord, the careful arguments that are being put forward. And we pray for those who are at the forefront of these sorts of issues. Those, for example, who are involved with the Christian Institute. We thank you for that institution and we pray for your continued blessing upon it. So, Lord, hear our prayer. We know that you hear the prayer that is prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus. We bring these, Lord, our prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've seen this morning, haven't we, what Mary did to Jesus. Let's have a look now at a couple of responses. Let's firstly have a look at this man's response. This man's name was Judas Iscariot, and he was one of the disciples of Jesus, one of the 12. What does the Bible say about Judas's reaction? Let me read it to you. Verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. In fact, I think that Judas probably objected to what Mary did quite strongly. I think that Judas would have thought that it was a complete waste of money. He suggested, didn't he, that the perfume could have been sold and the money made given to the poor. Now, when we read that in the Bible, we may think to ourselves, well, that sounds quite a spiritual thing to say. It would have been good, perhaps, to have sold the perfume, made some money, and given that money to the poor. It's just that it doesn't work at all in Judas's case, does it? Because, you see, the Bible tells us that Judas was the one who looked after the money. And there were times when Judas would take some of that money for himself. And I think that Judas probably thought to himself, if the perfume was sold and money was made, I could look after that money and I could help myself to some of that money and spend it on myself. You see, Judas, although he was one of the 12 disciples, wasn't a true disciple of Jesus. There was something that Judas loved more than Jesus, and that was money. And so when the time came, when Judas finally realized that Jesus wasn't going to establish a great kingdom upon the earth, where he could be the treasurer and look after all the money and become a really rich man, he decided to betray Jesus for some money. And you know the story, I'm sure, with a kiss as well. How sad. See, Judas didn't think that Jesus was worth such extravagant devotion. He thought that what Mary did was a rather silly thing to do. He just didn't think that Jesus was worth it. And Judas provides us with a picture, doesn't he, of how the world thinks. You know, there are lots of people out there this morning who think we're absolutely nuts, don't they? You know, for meeting like this, for worshipping Jesus, for giving our time and attention and so on and so forth to him. They just think we're a little bit too enthusiastic, a little bit too keen. You see, the world thinks just as Judas thought all those years ago. But let's spend a moment or two thinking about Jesus' response to what Mary did. What did Jesus say? It's there in verse 7, John chapter 12 and verse 7. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone." And I don't think Jesus was speaking like this. Judas, would you mind just being quiet for a minute and not troubling Mary with your words? I think that Jesus' words to Judas amounted to a strong rebuke. I think Jesus spoke like this: "Judas, you leave her alone." It wasn't a polite request. It was a strong rebuke. You see, Jesus didn't want Mary to be discouraged by what she did. He didn't want Judas discouraging her. Actually, he wanted to discourage Judas from saying what he did. The point is that Jesus wanted to encourage Mary in her extravagant devotion. He sought to encourage her and not discourage her. How do we explain what Mary did? Why did she do what she did? Well, I'm going to endeavour to answer the question why in just a little while. So why? Why did Mary do what she did? She took some really, really, really expensive perfume and poured it over his feet. Why did she do it? Well, I think there are a number of reasons why she did it. Firstly, I think she did it because she was so thankful to Jesus for what he had done to her brother Lazarus. Jesus had brought him back to life again. But secondly, I think she poured all that perfume on his, dare I say it, but I think it's true, sweaty, smelly, possibly dirty feet, and then wiped those feet with the cleanest and purest part of her body, that is her hair, because she recognized that those feet were infinitely more valuable than the perfume and everything else in her home. And that those sweaty, smelly, and possibly dirty feet were more holy and pure, infinitely more holy and pure than even the cleanest and purest part of her body, that is her hair. I think that she poured that expensive perfume on Jesus' feet because she had come to realize who Jesus actually was, the resurrection and the life. The Word made flesh, God. I think she'd come to realize that Jesus was worth a lot more than just the perfume, but everything else that she had in the house. In fact, everything in the world. Her very life. I think she poured that perfume on Jesus' feet because she was so thankful that Jesus had forgiven her and given her the hope of a glorious resurrection. I think she simply loved the Lord Jesus as her Lord and as her Saviour. And perhaps therefore for Mary, giving a year's worth of perfume was actually just a little thing, because she recognised that Jesus deserved so much more. You know, when I was preparing this week, I thought, this is such a challenging story. It really made me think about my life and my relationship with Jesus and my love for him. You see, when I don't give extravagantly of my time and my money and my energy to Jesus, why is that? Is it because I don't know Jesus as well as I ought to? Is it because I don't love Jesus as much as I ought to? Is it because I'm not as thankful to Jesus for what he has done for me as I ought to be? Is it because there's a little bit more of Judas in my life than I would want to acknowledge or admit? Don't you think that this story that we're looking at this morning is really challenging? You know, the greatest need in this church, in fact it's the greatest need in every local Christian church, the greatest need in this church is not for more people to be here on a Sunday morning. The greatest need for this church is not for us to give more money to the poor or to missionary societies. The greatest need in this church is not for people to give more time to the work and ministry of the church. The greatest need for this church is not to have more gifted people who are willing to serve within the church. The greatest need for this local church is for us to know Jesus better and to love him more. It really is. That is the greatest need in every church up and down and across this country today. The greatest need is for us to know Jesus as Mary knew Jesus. The greatest need is to learn to love him as she learned to love him. Because you see, if we come to know Jesus as Mary came to know Jesus, I think that everything else that is needful will just fall into place. Let me finish by coming back to this ring. You responded to my opening illustration in exactly the way that I thought you would respond to it. I did provoke you, I admit, to respond in the way that you did. But you see, you were most put out, weren't you, by what I said. You objected strongly when I said that my wife wasn't worth such extravagant devotion. You thought that I ought to be willing to empty my bank account in order to buy her the best ring possible. But you know, the bottom line is, and we all recognize this morning, that Jesus is infinitely more valuable than my wife, as lovely as my wife may be. He's infinitely more valuable than your wife, or your husband, or your children, or your job, or your home, or whatever else it might be. I want us all this morning, if we can, to look deep within our hearts and to ask ourselves the question, do I really believe that Jesus is worth extravagant devotion? I think that's a really challenging question for us all to ask of ourselves. Is Jesus really worth such extravagant devotion? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for these stories that are recorded for us. Lord, what Mary did has not been forgotten, and the story has indeed been told throughout the generations that have followed her. And some have taken note of your response, Lord Jesus, to her extravagant devotion. And some perhaps have overlooked it. Lord, we're not quite sure, if we're honest, what it means exactly for us to give our all to you. We don't think it means we've got to go home today and empty our bank accounts and give everything to mission work, but Lord, we pray this day that you would help us, whether we're young, middle-aged or old, to think about what it means to really know Jesus and to love him with all our hearts. We pray that you would guard each one of us from holding back, from acting like Judas did. Lord, we pray that we may learn to give you our all, to give you our best, because that is exactly what you deserve. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that 2,000 or so years ago, you came into our world. You left the glory of heaven, and you came into this sad, sin-sick world, and you gave your very life for us upon the cross, in order that we might be saved and made the children of the living God. Because of your great sacrifice, we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, you've given everything to us. Oh Lord, help us to think very seriously about giving our all to you. Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.